You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
We've got Gordon Darcy here. He's here doing the Aviva Stadium tours. That used to be Rala's job, but...
Yeah, I'm not actually doing the tours.
Oh, well...
I'm helping to launch the tours.
Okay, yeah.
Good research.
No, you're
research.
A corporate. You're the corporate equivalent of Rala. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm effectively Rala's boss.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you do then? What does that involve?
Well, we've gone around and had one of the first tours. I'm trying to make Rala's job a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So putting a lot of memorabilia in and showing the evolution from when the stadium opened, the history from the IRFU and the FAI and various different bits of pieces, some jerseys, some memorabilia,
yeah.
And the whole way around into the changing room and out onto the pitch, and just giving people a bit more of an experience when they arrive here,
yeah.
And some more opportunity for Rala just to tell some winding stories.
I would imagine whatever information you give Rala, he has a couple of stories that he's going to tell regardless.
Oh, well, I would have thought you just give Rala information and he ignores it and just says what he wants to say
anyway. Yeah, exactly. Which will be much more boring and long-winded than what you can come up with.
I wouldn't say, but it'd be more interesting. Could you imagine if you come over from Germany and you're like Rala giving you his version of an event?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be like the 1916 Rising or something if Rala's telling it. That lovely guy, that guy's heading back to Germany going,
yeah.
Best day of my life.
Yeah, I did a stadium tour a while back. I was the Rala equivalent, or I was kind of walking around with a group anyway, and someone else was giving the tour. And we got into the change rooms, and you know they do the someone sits here, Driscoll sits here, all these guys, Rory Best, we're here. This guy did picked a back line and excluded me from it. He picked, I've got, obviously got Gordon Darcy at 12, Driscoll 13, and on Tommy Bowe, and he looked at me and he went, or Andrew Trimble. he can play 14.
You got the token one.
Yeah, I got it. I was an afterthought, very obviously an afterthought.
Oh, that's fine. I get that with people the whole time. They see me from behind and they think it's Brian, and they come up and they tip on the shoulder and then turn around, and the look of disappointment when they turn around and it's me.
Yeah.
And then you get this awkward little moment where they go,
I sure signed it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually did exactly that. Dricko must be doing something else today, a few boxes down, and I was walking around the whole stadium looking for you, or looking for the setup, and then I walked in on him, but I thought it was you. I thought I just struck gold. And then I just walked out, and it was just an awkward, because, you know, obviously then we'll have the chance to catch up and chat, but then it's like, oh, sorry, see you in 6 months, Brian, because obviously I don't bump into him that often. Tell me this, we occasionally talk about rugby, but first and foremost, did you see Game of Thrones the other night?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I didn't stay up. I recorded it.
No,
I
haven't.
Blocked out all.
There's fans everything. And there's 2 a.m. fans. Like, that's
yeah.
Too
so,
much.
Yeah, when had it on record, put it in, sat down. Kind of everybody's gone to bed, and I just had my little Game of Thrones moment with
yeah.
the dog.
Yeah. Okay. So hold on. Sorry, you did stay up then?
No, then I recorded it.
Ah, fine. Okay.
I watched it the next day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, was there much excitement? Are you a big fan? And how much revision did you have to do? Like, did you watch a couple of catch-up episodes on YouTube or anything, or a round-up of season 7 or anything like that?
No, but I only watched season 7. I kind of re-watched it a little bit.
Yeah.
And kind of just stay in touch. Like, but it's pretty ingrained. Like, if
yeah.
you have any sort of interest in it, it's pretty ingrained in there. You know, like, you're waiting for this.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of seared in your brain, and you're kind of going, okay, I need information as to what's happening.
Yes, exactly, Grant. And I don't know, are you a fan of the podcast, by the way?
Yeah, huge fan.
Uh-huh.
Huge fan.
So you're aware of the, you know, the theory behind Game of Thrones and that it's mimicking Irish rugby. I mean, you're familiar with this theory with.
Yeah, I am now.
Yeah, with the Lannisters, like Leinster rugby being the Lannisters of Irish rugby. That's. It's pretty well known at this stage.
It's well documented.
It is, yeah.
So,
more specifically,
who's the Munster?
Well, myself and Barry have fallen out over this a little bit. He wants the Munster to be the Starks, I would like the Starks to be Ulster. But he's given us the Wildlings, and he just shouted louder than me, so might not be the Wildlings.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I'd agree with Ulster being the Wildlings. I'm not sure they get the Starks, though.
Starks is too noble for Munster, no. Isn't it?
No, I think...
Get off your high horse, Munster.
You could settle on Connacht for them.
No, Connacht or the Ironborn. What are they called?
The Forgotten About. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Throw them on some ships. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. See you in a while, nice. Yeah. Well, that could pull Ulster's pants down, actually, in a couple of weeks' time. Mm-hmm. Whenever they play them in the playoff game. But no, the Leinster connection is very strong.
Nice.
We've got Sexto, who's obviously King Joffrey, in that he throws tantrums every now and again. Obviously, Joffrey's tantrums were more significant. When he throws a tantrum, someone dies. Johnny just kicks water bottles and stuff.
Yeah.
Grand, that's fine. Carney, Cersei. The most Lannister there is.
Okay.
Pure evil.
God, yeah, it's fair.
Obviously from an Ulster perspective.
No biases in this then whatsoever.
No, absolutely. No, I'm an objective journalist now.
No worries. Yeah. Same way I am, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Jaime Lannister.
Ooh.
Do you know who that is?
Jaime Lannister.
An important moment at the end of the last episode there, Jaime Lannister. Left the Lannisters and arrived in Winterfell. Oh,
Joey Carberry?
Jack McGrath.
All right.
Oh, yeah, Joey Carberry works as well.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, do you know who you are?
Who? Nobody.
Bear with me, okay?
If you say Jon Snow, you might get a hug.
Sorry. You're not Jon Snow.
I'm just delighted I feature.
Yeah. Bear with me, right? Could you potentially be, you know, like a Tyrion, maybe, like, you know, really smart, really popular, you know, and you've come to the other side now, and you're a good guy in retirement? No, you're not.
Just
cut
to the chase here.
You're not embracing this at all. Tyrion Lannister, no.
Who?
Tyrion.
I don't really have a choice, do I?
I've floated the idea with a few guys, and no one wants to be Tyrion, so would you just do us a solid? Good man, Darth.
Yeah.
Good man. Anyway, we're contractually obliged to mention rugby at some stage. So
yes.
European week, what's the story then? Is it just going to be the same old Leinster? Struggling a little bit recently for form. Is it just going to be the same old Leinster? Gets the business then and they start winning?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's hard for Leinster because the same challenges are there every year. In that they have to use a larger squad than everybody and say, listen, that is what it is. With a better academy, you can use all those different things. But when you're using a higher volume of players and you're using different combinations all the time, it does eat away at the potential for that team togetherness and gel and, you know, the little things that you need at the business end of the season. So there's one of the things that Leinster challenges they've had this year is the injury toll that they've had to go through. So the back row was decimated, and then Johnny has been, you know, has had his injury struggles. Rob has had his Robbie Henshaw ring rose. So there's been an awful lot of injuries this year, which they haven't had to deal with in previous years. So on top of that, they've got guys going to Ireland now. They have a bigger. The coaches haven't been able to control minutes as they would have liked, which every coach has to deal with. But it's just another one on top of another one of the bits of context around Leinster's season this year.
But they seem to. I don't know if there was as many injuries at the start of the season, but there was certainly a lot of rotation. There was a lot of young fellows that
That's part of it, and Leinster have to rotate because they have the player management of the national team. I think if you look at this time last year, I think Leinster are ahead in the Pro 14 as to where they were this time last year. They're still in the semi-final. They have a home semi-final. So, you know, it's they've gotten to the same place. Performances may not have been very pursued of what they were last year, but I think there's a bit of context around that, around what the players that they've had. So I think this weekend you're looking at it, you've got a really good tight five that's fresh coming back in, Scott Fardy, James Ryan, you know, the six front rowers that are really high quality, they're going to be instrumental for Leinster this weekend. And if Leinster get any sort of momentum in the game, I think you get to see Johnny Sexton will just pull the strings as we know he can.
How important is Lowe?
Well, does he play? Does he start?
Yeah.
I'm not
sure. Is he important enough to start, I suppose?
Well, like, this is why you'd never be a coach, right? Like, you sit down, you put all the thought into why you pick James Lowe or why you pick Jameson Gibson-Park, and it can go out the window in a second. You can pick James Lowe, you're saying, okay, well, we need him to score tries. Toulouse don't kick the ball and we don't get the ball wide. James Lowe is wasted on the wing. And then Luke McGrath goes down and you have to bring on a very inexperienced nine who can't control the tempo of a game. So it's, you can have the best thoughts in behind it, but like, there's a huge hindsight bias going to come off the back of this weekend. The prudent approach is what, and we know, and we've probably been the victim of that, from a coach, is going with Gibson Park, because he can have the most immediate impact when he comes on, and he can change the tempo of the game if they need to.
Yes, but you're talking, in an ideal world, as long as there's no surprises, you're talking 20 minutes impact from someone who has more involvement versus 80 minutes impact as a winger.
As I said, like, this is the, the world doesn't revolve around wingers, Andrew. But listen, as I said, that's why you'd never be a coach. They have erred with the Gibson Park on the bench, and I'd be surprised if they move away from that this weekend.
Yeah, okay, and what about the Starks and Coventry? I think they'll get on.
Yeah, like, there's obviously a big external focus on the Saracens this weekend. I think, you know, you and I have been in the dressing room plenty of times, and sometimes stuff is aired and it's dealt with and everybody draws a line on it and you move on, and it can actually pull guys together. But when it's not dealt with, or it's dealt with by the management as opposed to the players, it can cause a little bit of uncertainty in the group. So that's unfortunately hanging over Saracens, and shouldn't be in the game at all, but it is, and it's there. So how they deal with it will be very interesting, but they will not have wanted that in this preparation this week.
So is that your impression from what's gone on there, that the players are just slightly unhappy with how the whole thing's been dealt with, or?
No. I'm just saying, from you and I, from our experience, would have had we would have been in changing rooms where either deal with it as a group of players and everybody puts their card, and you have an honest conversation, and everybody agrees and you move forward, or it's dealt with, it's perceived to be dealt with, but it's actually not, and then that changes the fabric of an internal team. And we'll see how Saracens react to that this weekend. From the Lannisters, I think it's a huge opportunity for them. Like, Conor Murray, they need a huge game from Conor Murray. If Conor Murray has a big, big game, it changes the whole dynamic of how Munster approach the game. If he can just rediscover any sort of form, in the same way Leinster need Johnny to discover, if he puts his mark on this game, I think they have enough ammunition. The guys,
he's shown a lot, though, since the Six Nations. He's shown kind of like he's getting back towards where he was.
Yeah,
and it was a significant old injury as well, and kept them out for a while, and kind of come back in. He said himself, he's never had so much criticism.
Yeah, and it's unfair ever. As well, because like, I think when you look back at the Six Nations, the team didn't click, and then people were looking for reasons as to why it wasn't playing.
Yeah.
You know, every position is dependent on the other people around them. So for 9 and 10 to fire, the pack need to be delivering at certain metrics and things like that. And it just didn't click across the board. And we were not able to create momentum from 9 and 10 to get the pack back into positions where they used to be. And it doesn't matter if you are World Player of the Year or if you're the best scrum half in the world. When New Zealand are under the pump and they're, you know, South Africa hold their tight five behind the gain line, Bowden Barrett, Dan Carter, these guys, they're not able to do it either. So I think we just need to sometimes contextualise what's actually happening. So these guys are not, their form is not suddenly imploded. They were just really, really well marshalled as a team during the Six Nations in the vacuum of that tournament. And now, we haven't seen Johnny yet, but I fully would back him. I'd be scared not to back him every time he takes the pitch.
Yeah.
And you've seen Conor Murray, he's just saying, getting a little bit of thing. And this is an opportunity where Munster just, it's incredibly frustrating. There's that poeticness with Munster and the Champions Cup, that they just seem to rise and something always special seems to happen with them.
Yeah.
And maybe this is just another one of those chapters in their story.
Yeah, it's sickening, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
You're right.
It is a little bit. It's fine. I've won 3 Heineken Cups, so it's fine.
Oh, no. That's fine for you, isn't it? just fine for you.
I didn't want to, like, I didn't want to get dragged.
You had to go there, didn't you?
I kind of had to, a little bit.
So obviously, pretty successful. As you've touched on, nice conduit. Pretty successful playing career. But when you were playing darts, am I right in saying you didn't get on that well with the media? Like, you kind of hated journalists.
No, I didn't. I just...
You didn't give them much, did you?
No, it's not that I didn't give them much. Because
now you are one, and that's the irony of the whole
situation.
Yeah,
well, I'm not a... I'm a columnist. So I have an opinion.
Oh, right.
I have an opinion. I'm not a journalist, thankfully. But, no, my whole thing with when I was playing was, so I had a very bumpy start to my career. Kind of went up, acted a bit of Jack the Lad and did all the stupid stuff that I did. Dyed my hair blue, wrote silly things in my boots and got fat and got rightly so dumped from the national team and nearly lost my Leinster contract. But that was very, very...
Who was in charge of Leinster at the time?
Mike Ruddock. So this is like 99, 2000, so
yeah. You were probably... This is after you got... You were about to go on tour with Ireland.
So I was asked to go on tour with the national team when I was in school.
Yeah.
Obviously did my leaving cert and then played in the 99 World Cup, but was overweight. Anyway, was not a good professional and nearly I got dropped out of it. But it was very, very well documented in the by sports people, and rightly so,
because
it gave me a healthy scepticism of the media. It's like, okay. Yeah. And I tried to find a balance then throughout my career of not using the media to promote everything under the sun and having a reasonable balance from it and not living my life in a way that I am tied to the media. So then when I had to do media stuff, I could be quite forthright with my opinion and saying, okay, I don't want to discuss that.
Yeah.
Or I think that's a silly question, so I'm not answering it. And and that was obviously a frustration from media, and then I kind of maybe got a reputation of not liking them, but it wasn't. It was just there. I'm not obligated to do anything here that I don't necessarily have to.
Yeah. No, you suited yourself, which is fair enough, obviously. So I think a lot of lads would find that if you maybe let your guard down a little bit, then if someone maybe takes advantage of that or just publishes a headline that isn't.
Yeah, I'm kind of the other way. But if you're trying to portray an agenda, you're more likely to trip yourself up. So if you're actually not honest around it, I think there's certain things you have to be wary of. There's certain topics that are very sensitive, and world rugby, domestic. Oh, there's lots of things that you need to be careful around what you comment on.
Yeah.
Prime examples of what not to do. But I think if you're trying to, as long as you're honest and you're, I don't think you ever have to worry about what you're saying. But you need to be confident enough to stand over what you're saying.
Yeah. And then how do you find that with that backdrop, kind of you going into, obviously you're not a journalist technically,
yeah, columnist.
But is it nice to still have a hand in rugby, to still be involved a little bit, to not be just go like cold turkey?
Yeah, I don't think you play for 18 years, like how many years did you play for? Probably 14.
14, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big chunk of your life.
Still good, like 14 years.
Yeah, it's good, yeah. Really good. But it's such a big chunk of your life.
Yeah.
It'd be such a shame to just move on from it. And the game is professional and there's so many things around it. You don't have to be a coach. You don't have to be directly involved in the game. You can still keep an involvement in it, and it's healthy for it because, you know, we largely enjoy being a professional rugby player. So,
yeah.
But it's finding that balance from when you finish that, when you move into the next chapter of it, that it isn't, you aren't consistently looking back over your shoulder going, oh, I wish I was still there, I wish I was still there, because, you know, life, that acceptance of it is very important.
Yeah, so your retirement was in your terms, because I experienced the same the timing was probably 2 months off in your terms. Is that fair enough?
Well, like, the 2015 World Cup, like, actually, last game out there, very cathartic, because I couldn't play the game anymore. Body just wasn't happening. One of those Joe Schmidt moves, and it was, I said, did you play against Scotland? Or did you play against Wales in the 2015 Wars?
No, I played against Wales away.
Yeah.
And then that was me, and then I hurt myself after that.
Okay, so I played. So that game went really well for everybody out there. It was a brilliant performance, and Paddy Jackson played well. Darren Cave played really, really well.
Yeah.
Lots of guys played really well in that game. We played Scotland the next week. We were absolutely rubbish. Yeah. And I remember it was just one of these moves, and lots of moving pieces, and I kind of made a breakthrough, and it was like just me in the trial. I was like, I got this, to score. And then got cut down from behind, and it was like, oh, it must have been a covering winger or something. And it turned out to be like tight or loose head prop. And he had walked from that scrum to the next ruck, had caught me from behind.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of the moment where I was like looking at it going, oh God, I can't play rugby anymore. And I knew it was done in that game. And I went to Galway the next day, I got a phone call from Joe, and he's like, oh mate, listen, you know, we're probably going to go with somebody else. I was like, listen, don't worry.
Really?
I'm done here. Yeah.
Well, what time did your phone call come through? Because mine was late.
Mine was early.
Really?
I was in the car to Clifton, probably like 10:30. I was probably one of the first ones to ring, but I'd say it was one of the easiest ones. Like, I'd say wasn't 25 seconds. He was like, oh, mate, it was all a joke. Listen, you're grand. I'm done. He was like, oh, keep training. I was like, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
He's like, you never know, injuries. I was like, oh, I was like, please, someone don't get injured.
Yeah.
I am not able to play at this level anymore.
Yeah. So my phone call came, I don't know, maybe 7 o'clock Sunday night. And
no,
the whole day, I was going, it's got to this stage.
I'm good.
I'm in. I'm bound to be in.
I've got this,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't get caught by a prop. I'm going to the World Cup.
Yeah. So two times in my career I got caught by a prop. Marty Cahill playing for when I was playing for Lansdowne, we were playing in playing against Buccaneers,
yeah.
And like trying to run through the middle of the pitch, and the mud was about that deep. Marty Cahill just came in. Did you ever play against Marty Cahill?
No,
Marty Cahill was probably like 18, maybe 20 stone. He's about like 5'6".
Yeah.
One of the few people in world rugby I was taller than. And he just kind of came
He's
in.
Tyrion then. He's Tyrion.
He's Tyrion.
That's fine. We shifted on.
Oh, I've just got why you put me in as Tyrion, because I'm short.
Yes, lad.
That's really unfair.
I know. It's cheap stuff.
What about Redzer?
Redzer, he could be in the mix.
Yeah, he's angry as well.
Yeah, and he's a schemer as well.
There you go.
He's a social schemer.
Yeah, but that means I'm cut out then, so I'm conflicted.
Yeah, it's nice to have a role, isn't
it? It's nice to be
even
involved.
If it is. Sure, yeah. Listen, Darcy, I think we've covered more or less everything. Game of Thrones, Leinster Rugby, and I think that'll do us.
Yeah, we didn't have time to cover off Ulster, which is probably a good thing.
Oh. Ooh, ouch.
Just the final parting dig.
Ooh.
You know what? Listen.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
Cheers. Nice, buddy.
Cheers.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.